Good evening, everyone, and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Bible study in the book of Revelation. Tonight is study number 37 of Revelation chapter 2. And we're continuing to look at verse 27, which says, "And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father." And we're at the point of the middle of the verse where it says, "As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers." And, you know, this is a long-standing illustration that God uses in the Bible. That is, he refers to himself as a potter and to mankind as pottery or vessels of the potter. For instance, back in the Old Testament, in Jeremiah chapter 18, I'm going to read this passage beginning in verse 1, which says, "The word which came to Jeremiah from Jehovah, saying, Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of Jehovah came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith Jehovah? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it, if that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to build and to plant it, if it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them." In this passage, God is speaking to the house of Israel, and he is comparing them with the vessels of a potter. And God also speaks of a kingdom and a nation. And we'll find as we look into this word potter that really God likens himself to a potter insofar as he has relationship with those that are identified with him. That would be Israel of old and the New Testament churches and congregations. And in that relationship, he treats some as vessels of honor and the rest as vessels of dishonor. That is, he saves his people, the elect, and he recreates them. He makes them new and good vessels from their ruined state. But on the other hand, those that are in their sin, that are unsaved, that are not his elect, they continue to be vessels that are marred, that are ruined by their own wickedness, and God has chosen to allow them to remain in that dishonorable state. And so it really has application to all people, because God is creator of all men, but he does use this figure to describe the judgment on the churches. For instance, in the next chapter of Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter 19, it says in verse 1, "Thus saith Jehovah, Go and get a potter's earthen bottle, and take of the ancients of the people, and of the ancients of the priests, and go forth unto the valley of the son of Hinnom, which is by the entry of the east gate, and proclaim there the words that I shall tell thee. And I said, Hear ye the word of Jehovah, O kings of Judah, and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Thus saith Jehovah of hosts, the God of Israel, Behold, I will bring evil upon this place, the which whosoever heareth his ears shall tingle. Now, where we recognize this kind of language, this is God judging his people as judgment begins at the house of God. The New Testament churches and congregations, due to their unfaithful dealings with the Word of God. Well, then it says in verse 10 of Jeremiah 19, then shalt thou break the bottle in the sight of the men that go with thee, and shall say unto them, thus saith Jehovah of hosts, even so will I break this people and this city as one breaketh a potter's vessel that cannot be made whole again, and they shall bury them in Tophet, till there be no place to bury. Thus will I do unto this place, saith Jehovah, and to the inhabitants thereof, and even make this city as Tophet. Here God is, again, he likened Jerusalem and its inhabitants to a potter's vessel. And when it's time to judge them for their rebellion against him, he speaks of breaking them as one would break a potter's vessel, as the potter breaks the marred pottery. And so we're clear that God does use this kind of language of a potter breaking the potter's vessel to typify the judgment that came on the churches. And yet it's more than that. The same language is used to describe the judgment on the world. But let's look at one other place where the Lord uses this to describe his judgment on the church, as he typifies the church by Israel. In Isaiah chapter 30, it says in verse 8, now go, write it before them in a table, and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of Jehovah, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits, get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Wherefore, thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because ye despise this word, and that would be the Bible, and trust in oppression and perverseness, and stay thereon, therefore this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall, whose breaking cometh suddenly at an instant, and he shall break it as the breaking of the potter's vessel that is broken in pieces. He shall not spare, so that there shall not be found in the bursting of it assured to take fire from the hearth, or to take water withal out of the pit. God is breaking those that despise his word, yet of course they profess to be his people. They were Jews of old, or they're Christians in the New Testament era. And they love God, they'll tell you. Yet when God comes forth with his word, and the word is uncomfortable for them to hear, it doesn't flatter them, and it's not smooth enough for them to listen to. It's a hard thing. And oftentimes that is the case with the word of God, the Bible. It's not a pleasant thing, but it is something that God has opened up from his word that is a hard thing and difficult to hear and grievous to be born, in a sense, such as the end of the church age. It's not an easy thing if you're a man who's a child of God and you hear the church age is over, and yet you know your wife is so grounded in the church that she'll never leave. And yet you, out of obedience to the Lord, must yourself leave. And yet your wife insists the children continue to go to the place that you know is under the judgment of God. That's not an easy thing. That's an extremely difficult thing, and it was for God's people at the time he was calling his people to come out of the church. While there was still hope in that if an individual would come out, they could thereby be in a position where God might bless an individual unto salvation, because none were being blessed in that way within the churches and congregations. And so the word of God, which is true and faithful, and it is what God has said, it is the word that comes forth of his mouth, and that word that pronounced the judgment on the churches was despised by those within the church. They blame the messengers. They blame the ones who brought the word, the ones who pointed out the verses, and the ones who said, well, you see, it says here in Jeremiah, or it says in Ezekiel, or other passages. You see, we have to leave the church. The church age is over. God's wrath is upon it. 1 Peter 4:17 explains to us judgment begins at the house of God, and that is the church. And they wouldn't listen. They wanted no part of it. And in that rejection of the word of God, they despise the word of God. In the New Testament, the word translated despise is also translated as reject, because rejecting God's word is akin to despising it. You're not hearkening, you're not listening or obeying to what God is saying. Therefore, you have despised his word. And despising his word means you despise Christ, because he is the word of God. And that's why the true believer is very careful in studying the Bible and learning, is this true? Is this what God is saying? Because we would never want to despise the word, to reject the truth of the scripture. And some are just too quick, out of hand, to reject something because they don't like it. It doesn't sound right to their ears. It doesn't sound pleasant at all. And yet that is the nature in many cases of the word of God. It's not an easy thing that God brings forth out of his word, but hard things that declare judgment and wrath upon mankind for their sin. And it was a hard thing that came forth out of the Bible when God revealed the church age was over, and all churches, 100% of them, were under his judgment. Likewise, it's a very hard thing that God is teaching now, that the world is under his judgment, that the door to heaven is shut, that he has put out the light of the gospel. And certainly it's not easy for the true believer, for the child of God, who knows people, who loves people, who cares very much for people that are giving no evidence of salvation, and to know that, oh, the day of salvation is over. And that true believer holds on to the hope. Oh, is it possible that God may have? Is it perhaps possible that God might have saved this person before he shut the door? And yet we see no movement in the direction of the scripture or in the direction of obeying God in the person we continually are praying for. It's a grievous thing. It's a sorrowful thing. And yet the true believer cannot do anything but accept what God has taught in his word. And for someone who professes to be a believer, just say, well, this is not a right thing. This is certainly not a smooth thing for us to hear. It's a hard thing, and therefore we reject it. We won't even listen to it. We won't even check it out. We're done with that. Well, they had better be careful, because that is often how the word of God is despised, and it's been that way with many hard truths of the Bible, where mankind wants his own way. Well, here in Isaiah 30, God is again speaking of his people, and he uses the picture of breaking them as a vessel is broken by the potter, and there will be broken in pieces. But the Hebrew word that's translated as potter is also translated a couple of other different ways. God uses or allowed the translators. Amazing how God worked through the translators of the Bible, especially the King James Bible, which is the best English translation by far of any other English translation, and how God allowed them to take the same Hebrew word and to translate it 2 or 3 or 4 or 10 different English words in some cases, more or less. And in doing so, the Lord hid truth. He used this to hide bits and pieces of truth. And so the word potter is translated as formed in Genesis chapter 2. And in Genesis 2, it says in verse 7 and 8, "And Jehovah God formed," that's the same word, "formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And Jehovah God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed." The pottery. How does the potter make his pottery? He takes clay and he forms the vessel that he wishes to form. He makes it and he creates it and he gives it its own particular design. And so God formed man of the dust of the ground. We are made of clay. We're made of dust. Remember, as it says in Psalm 103:14, the Lord remembers our frame. He remembers we are but dust. Let me turn there and make sure I get that correct. In Psalm 103 and verse 14, "For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust." He knows what we're made out of. We're a simple project. We're a work of his hands. He has taken the material that is part of this earth, and this earth was created by him. He formed the earth as well as the whole universe, and God took some of that material, the dust of the ground, and he molded it and used his hands, in a sense, as the hands represent the will in the Bible, and he fashioned us alike, as men are fashioned much alike, and he created man, and he breathed life into us, and we became a living soul, a creature created in the image of the Creator himself, created in the image of God, given a spirit that when originally created would last forever if we had obeyed him. But Adam and Eve disobeyed, and we all were in Adam, and therefore we all fell, and we lost that original creation. We became a marred piece of pottery. We became a dishonorable vessel. We became something good for nothing, really, worthless. If you're a potter and your work is to make pottery, and as you form a vessel and the vessel is ruined somehow in the process, well, of course, God made all things good. But somehow, let's say that you make a good piece of pottery and set it on a shelf, and somehow it gets ruined, and Now, what are you going to do with that ruined piece of clay? Well, you just break it to shivers. You take it and throw it out back in your trash pile, and it's all broken to pieces. That's the picture that God uses as he speaks of judging mankind for their sins. It is our sin, and it's our doing, it's our own doing, our own responsibility that has caused this vessel to become dishonorable, to be marred, to experience ruination, and to finally have the judgment of condemnation, of destruction. Isn't that interesting that God uses that particular word to describe his wrath upon man? He will destroy us. He will finally cause us to experience destruction. We will be destroyed and perish forever. And that is, we're that bad piece of pottery, that vessel that is good for nothing any longer, and that is God's plan. Now, the word potter, the name potter, as it applies to God, is also translated in Isaiah chapter 45 as maker. It says in Isaiah 45 and verse 7, I'll start there, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, Jehovah, do all these things. Drop down, ye heavens from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, Jehovah, have created it. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker, or it could be read with his potter. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioneth it, what makest thou, or thy work? He hath no hands. Woe unto him that saith unto his father, what begettest thou, or to the woman, what hast thou brought forth? Thus saith Jehovah, the Holy One of Israel, and his maker asked me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands. Command ye me, I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded. Well, what a glimpse, what a glorious illustration God is giving us of his creative work. He is the creator. There's none else. He is the one that has created all things from the beginning. He's the one that spoke and the world came into existence, and the stars and the sun and the moon. He's the one that created the mountains and the seas and the valleys and the hills and trees and the animals and the birds of the air and the fish of the sea and the creeping things that creep upon the ground. He's the one that created mankind. He is the potter, the maker. That is God. That is his name, and that is what he does. He creates. He is infinite in wisdom, and certainly infinite in might. And this creation is a demonstration of his awesome ability to create a world and creatures to inhabit a world that he has created. And what are we? What are we? We're one of those many creatures. Just look around and look at the variety of animals, the beauty, and the just the glorious work of God that we see in the varied nature of the animals that inhabit this earth. Have you ever seen a nature video or a video that gives us a glimpse into the depths of the sea, as all the beautiful and wonderful animals that God has created that mankind, for the most part, has never even seen. It's only recently that cameras have gotten to go so deep, and we see these creatures that God created to inhabit the depths, and they're just incredible in the way they look and the design that God has designed them with, in all the splendor and all of the grandeur that God has fashioned them with, as He, the Maker, has made them. And we are just one of these creatures. Yes, the highest form of creature, because He has created us in His own image. But He is the potter. We are only a pot, a vessel, an earthen vessel, maybe an earthen bottle. And we are like a potsherd of the earth. And dare we strive with the potter? And dare we speak back to Him and say, "Why have you made me this way? Why have you not made me more beautiful?" You know, as some people look at themselves in the mirror, and what are we doing when we're looking in the mirror? We're examining the handiwork of God. He's the one who gave us this face. He's the one who gave us our body, and who gave us our eyes and our ears. He's the one who fashioned us exactly as we are. And yet we look in the mirror and we don't like this and we don't like that. Oh, why have you made me thus? Or why have you given me this kind of personality? And why, oh, why do I have this weakness, and so on? And of course, it often involves striving with God over His word and over His plan for mankind, and therefore for me as an individual. We don't like what He has done in the place He has placed us, maybe in the home that we find ourselves in. Maybe we're a wife and we're not satisfied with the husband that God has given us. We're not satisfied with the job, perhaps, that the Lord has provided for us. And on and on and on it goes. Dissatisfaction from the point of view of the thing that God has made, the creature, critiquing the Creator's handiwork. And we can only ask the question, who are we? Who are we to strive, to argue, to fight against God? No, we are out of place. We are doing something that was never intended. The pottery is just the simple work of the potter. We are an object that God has created, a creature that is meant to serve the Creator. And the sooner we realize that, if we ever do, by the grace of God, and the sooner we submit ourselves to the hands of the potter and accept whatever it is His lot for us, the happier certainly will be.